strengthen us always. Please be seated. Amen. We're going to talk today and work our way, as I said, for the next several weeks through a teaching series looking at this famous story about David and Goliath, and look at how we also face giants. I'm calling this Facing Our Giants, and today in part one we're going to talk about how he is bigger than, and we'll be referring to the problems may be bigger than we realize, but God is even bigger than those problems. So we'll get into that here in a moment. But first I want to refresh us with the verse that we read a little bit ago. The Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So we can picture this scene of the Israelite army up on the top of one mountain and the Philistines on the other, this valley in between, and that's where they're supposed to fight, where they have fought before, where Israel's been victorious before. But the sight of this 9-foot-tall giant has thrown everybody off. It's like the rules of the game have been changed, so to speak, and they're dismayed and terrified. Maybe you can relate a little bit to that, and I hope in some way that this classic story can be one that we connect to it. You know, we hear about it in the media, we hear about it in sports. This analogy gets used over and over. We love the story of the underdog, and speaking of underdog, I found this picture on the internet. I thought that was a great David and Goliath picture, right? That just sort of, you know, it captures the whole idea, and it kind of goes, aw, how sweet, you know, this idea. But there's something to our imagination here of this idea of little tiny David, a teenager, going out with nothing more than a stone and a sling and his faith to face a 9-foot-tall giant, wearing armor 125 pounds, with just the tip of his spear weighing 15 pounds alone. And no one in Israel's army, no one on David's side of the valley, has been willing to face this guy. Not his king, not his brothers, not anyone. And in some ways, I bet we can relate a little bit that we have our own giants, don't we? They may have different names. They may, you know, may not carry a sword and spear. But some of us, we're waving around the sword and spear of unemployment or abandonment, of abuse or depression. Giants may not prance around in the hills of Elah like he did back then, but you'll find them in our bedroom or in our classroom or in our boardroom, in our office. He's the bills we can't pay and the grades that we can't make and the people we can't please, the whiskey we can't resist, the pornography that we can't refuse, the career we can't seem to escape, the past we can't shake, and the future we seem afraid to face. I think even Martin Luther captured that idea when he was trying to write this idea. In battle, we'll engage. And yet, when we realize, when we look at that giant, when that problem is so big in front of us, we hold off. We back up. We struggle. It's so hard for us to try to do this. And I think some of those giants that we face, they just seem bigger than we can handle. And these are some of what we're going to look at together over the next several weeks. Fear. How, whatever the fear is, it's fear of other people, it's fear of our, you know, how we get through a certain obstacle, but fear just can grip us and absolutely shut us down. We're going to look together at rejection and just how strong that is, that longing inside of us to be accepted and to be loved and to be welcomed. And when that fear of being rejected is so big, it freezes us or it makes us just kind of hide, you know, not moving, getting anywhere. Anger is also one of the giants that we're going to explore, and how much it does damage to our lives and the lives around us when we let that giant stand. Addiction and others besides will be part of what we face. Looking at these things, it seems so big, we can't seem to conquer them. They've been in our lives over and over again. Again, that idea, a past we can't shake, a future we can't face. What these giants are ultimately doing are robbing us of the life Jesus wanted for us. He said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." The Apostle Paul was worried that this church he had labored so much for, he had loved so much and so often, he was worried and concerned that they were turning away, that they were being overwhelmed by the giant obstacles that they were facing. And so he sends his friend Timothy to go and learn more. And when he finds out things are well, he says, now it's like we're really alive again because we know you're still walking in the truth. This is a big deal, and this isn't just a sweet little Bible story or a children's story or song for Sunday school. This is something that we deal with. Whether it's our fear of death or our broken relationships, whatever the case is, there are giants that we face. And the thing I hope we can hear today, besides that scripture I shared with Schuyler, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, is this scripture from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. See, behind every one of those giants, ultimately, is that thief that Jesus talked about, the one who's trying to steal and kill and destroy, the one who wants us so filled with fear that we run away, and we leave loved ones unprotected. We leave the sheep of our flock here at Gethsemane, isolated and at risk. He wants us to run away, but God has a different plan. God's plan has always been to destroy the devil's work. It's a wonder how it is that after Jesus accomplished everything that he did on the cross, crying out is finished, after he destroyed the last enemy, which is death, and rose again from the grave, how it is that we still have so many struggles when he's already overcome so much. And yet, we want to get deeper into this and stronger in this understanding. Just like my Bible study here for the last few weeks has been looking at our identity in Christ, so the stronger we're aware of that identity, the more we live that out. I want us to be able to have that life to the full that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. I want us to be able to experience the glory of God in our lives, that we are living to his glory, we are experiencing the glory of him helping to defeat in our lives the giants that are already destroyed through Jesus. They're already defeated. It's a matter of us experiencing that, of extending that victory of Christ into our lives, into the giants that we're facing. In the immediate now, my giant has already been defeated by what Christ has done, and it's going to fall. Maybe it hasn't fallen yet, but he will. And because I'm going to put what Christ has done into motion in my life, and I pray that all of us will do the same in ours, that giant will go down as the others have before. Jesus appeared to destroy the devil's work. Well, you might ask yourself, why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult that we have this struggle, that we still have these giants in our lives? You know, when Jesus accomplished it all 2,000 years ago, why is there still fear and anger and addiction and rejection and all of these other enemies that we face? Why do we still sometimes have empty cupboards and empty checkbooks and difficulties, you know, that weigh on us and wear us out? And I want to suggest to you two things. First, you see my little picture there of the snake head? Did that come through? It was a fascinating story to read on CNN last year of a fellow down in Corpus Christi who was out in his garden with his wife, sees a western diamondback rattlesnake out there, and does what a good Texan ought to do, take his shovel and cut the head off, right? I'm not exactly sure why this fellow went and picked up the head with his hand, but when he did, unfortunately, the fangs, you know, the reflex, just like a chicken with the head cut off, while the tail's still wiggling around on the back end of the snake, the fangs clamped down on his finger. 6 doses of anti-venom later, his finger was saved and he was able to leave the hospital, but it was touch and go. It was very difficult. The snake was dead, but it was still deadly. And Satan has been defeated, but we are waiting for that final, ultimate defeat at the end of time when Christ returns again. And until then, he still can breathe his murderous threats. He still can, as 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, prowl around like a roaring lion, looking or sounding like someone who is waiting to, he's waiting to devour someone. He's still trying to rattle his chains and make us think he can steal and kill and destroy. And addiction still grips an awful lot of people. Anger still short circuits an awful lot of relationships. Fear still dwarfs us so much and shuts us down from that free, full life that Jesus has in mind for us. How do we get past that? How do we realize? Well, again, we're going to let the voice of God and of His reality, of His truth, be louder in our ears than the roaring of the lion. We're going to let His truth and strength fill us, and we're going to even let His power come in and fill our veins, literally, as we receive Him in the body and blood of Christ, rather than let the venom of Satan be what's active in our lives. And with His help and His strength, we will experience more and more every day that fullness of life that Jesus came for. But first, I want to ask if you do what I did with Skylar, if we can quote that scriptural truth together. Greater is He that is in me than he who is in the world. It is true. Greater is Jesus, His grace, His truth, His death and resurrection power. Greater is He that is in you by your baptism and by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper than any threat, than any lie, than any past failure, than any giant that stands before us today. David believed that. And David believed it wasn't just him going out to fight with a stone and a sling. He believed that God was going to help him. That's what he's going to, well, as we get into this in the next couple of weeks, we hear his conversation with Saul and with his brothers and everyone else. We'll understand that even more. But for today, I hope you'll face your giant square in the eye and realize greater is the one who is in me, Jesus, than you. And because of all he has done on the cross, you're going to fall, giant. You don't have power over me anymore. May we start with that strength this week. May we grow even further in it. And may the one who is in us help you feel greater and fuller freedom than ever before. Amen. I invite you to join us.